Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net number 427 for the 3rd of March, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system. Go to sdf.org. Right, there's only a few of us regulars here, so right. We've got K0ROS, we've got KC1TCA, and N4RNW, and me. So this might be a short net. I don't have a topic this week. So if you've got something on your mind, by all means, bring it up. So, I don't know, maybe wait a minute here and see if anyone else joins us. We had a new station in there, Kilo 3, Charlie Alpha November. He didn't say anything, but he dropped out just as I was starting the net. Maybe he'll come back. Anyway, let's see. No new call signs on the dashboard, so I'm just going to start going down the list, starting with K0ROS.
Good evening, everyone, or good time zone, rather. My name is Ross, K0ROS, SDF username R. Nelson, and I am located in Omaha, Nebraska.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Ross. I'm trying to think. Did you guys have some bad? Well, I don't think so. Thanks for joining us this week. Next on my list is KC1TCA.
Hi, Wayne and all. This is KC1TCA, Rich in East Falmouth, Massachusetts, and my SDF username is RFX. We did have some crappy weather this week. We had a blizzard. In fact, my cousins told me that we set a record for, I don't know, longest sustained blizzard conditions, but I don't know what that record is for. It seems unlikely that we would have broken any records, but we did get an awful lot of snow for a region that does not often get snow. I think we got somewhere around 20 inches here, but Rhode Island, which isn't very far away, Providence, got something like 40 inches. So they were a pretty big mess. But our town had all kinds of incredible equipment out. They had the front loaders out clearing snow instead of snow plows. That was pretty exciting. And we saw some bizarre vehicles, some amphibious vehicles that Eversource, who's our local provider, was using to get through some of the brush and marshy areas, these things called fat trucks, which I've never seen before, but there was one driving down our street. It was pretty amazing looking. That's basically it. I haven't been doing, we did hamnet stuff during the blizzard, Aries, just to sort of keep in contact, and there was a lot of people online, well, on the air during that, so that was pretty cool. I'm going to take a break here for a second. And aside from that, having that much downtime meant that I couldn't play with the computers the way that I normally do. So I went through and finished I finished digitizing these QSL cards. Last summer I started digitizing. We have three books of QSL cards from 1935 to 1952, I think, for our hospital station here in Falmouth, and I digitized one of those books last summer and then put the project down and got distracted by other things, and so I finally got back and finished all those. In fact, I posted them on the SDF, on my SDF page. If you go to, I'll put the link in the notes or the text thing, but it's rfx.sdf.org, and if you just look down at the bottom, there is the link that says QSL cards have been digitizing for Falera. That's basically it. I'm going to stop babbling and give it back to you, Wayne. It's good to be here with you all. KC1TCA.
Do you still have like 20 inches of snow everywhere, and of course, wherever it's been plowed, it's probably more like 30 inches now. You have like canyons of streets with snow piled up on either side, or has it started to melt?
Well, we have both, actually. We had, at some point, we had like, okay, so now I'm getting my numbers mixed up, but we had like 90% of the town didn't have power, but we also had many impassable roads for days after. And I'm not positive, but I think everything has been cleared. And today we were supposed to get rain, but it actually snowed a little bit, but it didn't do anything. It was just kind of crazy. But yeah, there's it's really hard to see when you pull up to intersections and stuff, unless you're in a really high vehicle, which, you know, even SUV aren't high enough to see over the drifts that are piled up next to the corners of the streets. It's pretty tough to see and get around. But generally, everything is clear. They did a really great job, I think, responding to this. Although we did have some problems, the two of the warming centers, the generators failed. So somebody isn't, or whatever, you know, I don't know why they failed. But two of the warming center generators failed. So that was kind of an issue. And I guess they kept moving the warming centers around, which was kind of a mess. But yeah, there's tons of snow here. I went out and shoveled the driveway. And the last couple of days, it got pretty warm. It got up to like 45 degrees or something, and which just sort of melted and then partially compacted. And now I think it's frozen again. So it's kind of a mess. There's still a lot of snow around.
Okay. Yeah, that blizzard system totally bypassed the Midwest, so we didn't get any of that. But I can feel for you there. Gosh, 20 inches of snow. I don't think I've ever experienced more than about 12 inches of snow, and I can remember that from like 1978. It leaves an impression. So, yeah, 20 inches plus. That's amazing. Well, you know, good luck with you know, coping with the situation, and hopefully it'll get better real soon. Next up is N4 RNW.
Oh, good evening, Wayne and the group. N4 RNW, Harold here in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers on the Gulf Coast. Gosh, you're bringing back memories. You're jogging my memory about the blizzard of 78. I was born and raised in South Bend, Indiana, and I remember that blizzard. There was so much snow up there that they didn't know what to do with it. They would plow out the main roads, but then the piles of snow on either side of the road were so high they couldn't pile anything more, so they had to get bulldozers in and take care of that. And that mention still comes up on my Facebook feed. But at this moment, most of Florida is underneath a drought, and we're fortunate this afternoon, hold on a sec, that there is a small thunderstorm cell, rain cell running around over on top of us. So everything is brown and burnt out, and this is, although it's the nicest time of the year down here, it's also the driest, and fires, brush fires can pop up with no problem. All right, well, take care up there in the Northeast and all that snow, Richard, and I see Ross out there, and Wayne, back to you. Everybody have a good night and a good weekend for RNW.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Harold. Always good to have you here. Here in Illinois, we are in, I think it's extreme drought conditions here, but I think in the coming weeks, we're expecting a little bit more precipitation. In fact, I think the forecast is for like 1.2 inches of rain/snow tonight, so we'll see if that materializes. But, yeah, it's dry in the whole center of the country, I think, especially out west. I mean, like out there, where Ross is, I think, you know, Nebraska and Colorado, Wyoming, I think it's severely dry out there, and they have not had much precipitation at all. So let's see, I've given everyone a chance there, so now do we have any rejects? Right, so this is going to be a really short net this week. I'll drag my feet a little bit here. We're only in, you know, 12 minutes or so into the new day here. Maybe another 30 seconds before I wrap it up. But let's see what else is new here. I tried to think of a topic this week, and I couldn't think of anything. What have I heard lately? I mean, between things like QST Magazine and Amateur Radio Newsline and things like that, there's usually some kind of fodder to inspire me with a topic, but I'm dry this week. So anyway, yeah, we're up 13 minutes here, so let me check the dashboard. No change there. One more call for rechecks or additional comments. Please call now.
KZ1TCA.
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, I'm gonna push this a little bit, push the time out a little bit. During the we lost power for a long time when we were doing the Aries net during the, I guess it was the, I can't even remember what day it was now because it lasted a while, but the net we only had for one day. We were doing it's like an Aries resource net. And I presume Aries is national. It's the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. I don't think it's local to New England or anything like that. But I don't know, having not been a traveled ham. But anyways, I was wondering how you guys handle, so when we lost power, I've got, you know, the battery backups, but I just still had my HT. And I'm guessing that you guys probably have more permanent installations. I have an HT with a really great portable antenna. And it worked okay for hitting the repeaters, but if we had to go simplex, I would have really had limited range. But I'm guessing that you all have something quite a bit more than that. So I'm just going to toss that out. KC1TCA.
Okay. As I said in the chat there, Aries is it's a subset of the ARRL, so it is national. Now, there's another organization, RACES, R-A-C-E-S, what does that stand for? Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, something like that. I don't think that it's really affiliated with the ARRL, but it's more of a civil defense kind of organization. It's very tightly coordinated with like emergency management agencies across the country, and I've heard rumors that a lot of RACES groups are disbanding or it seems to be deprecated, and I'm not sure what's up with that. I thought I was going somewhere with that, but I lost steam. All right. Do we have any additional comments or rechecks?
Yep. KC1TCA.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I knew about RACES or RACES. I think that we have a chapter or something, whatever you call it, a division here. We have a state-run emergency management agency, MEMA, and they were very active during this. And then some of the Aries members are involved with the town community emergency readiness stuff. And so we had a conduit of information from MEMA going through the Aries group. And so that was pretty interesting. But I've heard of RACES or RACES, but I have never actually, I don't think I've ever encountered anybody that's involved in it here. The Aries stuff is pretty active, and we have exercises. Well, our Aries leader right now is sick, and that's put a sort of hampered our ability to practice for disasters, but we have been doing that a lot, and I understand it's tapered down a bit because of this, but like I said, I still haven't seen any racist stuff. So if they are disbanding, I don't know, you know, how active they were here. But we do have town integration with Aries or whatever, town cooperation and state level cooperation with the with Aries here. So maybe that's why it's you know, it's dropping by the wayside. KC1TCA out.
Oh, right. Okay. So yeah, CERT is another form of volunteer service. It has kind of different emphases. I don't think we have a CERT organization here in where I live in East Central Illinois. Now, as far as races goes, I mean, I haven't been involved with the local Aries group for a few years, but when I was involved with them, the situation was that it was one group of people, and we had two hats, and the hat that we wore most of the time was the Aries hat. And that's what we called ourselves, and that's what we did. But sort of in the background, we had this other hat, the Racy's hat, that in a really dire situation, the local emergency management officials could call up, you know, like Army Reserve or National Guard kind of thing, the Aries group acting under the Racy's hat. And the big difference between Aries and races, as I remember it, is that, for one thing, the races organization would be tightly controlled by or commanded by, whatever, by the local emergency management officials. It would be a quasi-governmental thing. And as just one of the things that falls out from that is that if we're an amateur radio operator operating under the conditions of races, it would be legal for us to use certain frequencies that are allocated to emergency management or, you know, public safety organizations. So it was kind of a big deal there. If we ever got called out to help with communications, we would be able to do things that we ordinarily would not be able to do as amateurs. That's been several years ago. And as I said, I've been reading some things, and I think there are some states that have, you know, kind of abolished races in favor of something else. I'm not sure what the something else is. So, but anyway, it's a fluid situation. All right, I'm rambling now. Let's see, do we have any additional comments there, Richard, Ross, anything before we wrap up the net?
Is there a Ross?
Yeah, so that's very interesting. It is the CERT team that are also part of the Aries groups, and so that's how we were getting that traffic, that information flow. So it was definitely, it was the CERT stuff. That's interesting about the racy stuff, about being able to use alternate frequencies. I hadn't heard about that. So, but for around here, it's just Aries. I don't know. We've got, like I said, a pretty tight integration with emergency management. We're all autonomous. I think that we want to help. I think that's the way that it works around here, is that, you know, all the Aries folks want to help, and a certain amount they can be relied on to go into action during some kind of a disaster. But I don't know if there's an expectation that they will. So I don't know, but they will, because that's just the way it works, right? KC1TCA, yeah.
As you were talking, it just occurred to me that the races thing is a little bit like MARS, the Military Amateur Radio Service. So I'm just kind of analogous to that. And let's see, what was the other thing I was thinking of? A lot of the professional emergency management people are a little skeptical about volunteer radio operators. You know, we have some crazy people in the ham community. You know, they want to show up at, you know, a storm watch situation with camo and, you know, so that kind of thing really makes the professionals nervous, and they want to avoid getting involved in that. So I think there's a certain movement among the professional emergency management people to, like, recruit and train amateur volunteer radio operators under the rubric of MCOM, E-M-C-O-M-M. So you might see that mention without mention of Aries or races or the league, anything like that. Right, so I'm running out there. I think Ross had something to say there. So it's your turn, Ross.
Yeah, so I just met, we had a meeting last week for my local Aries group, and we met with a representative from the NWS and from the county emergency management group. And for both of them, if they need to call on us to go out and do stuff, it's a very, very, very bad day. Their goal is to not have volunteers going out and doing stuff unless it's unavoidable. For NWS, there are plenty of NWS employees, meteorologists from news stations, and then local law enforcement, EMT, fire, who are out and already trained in weather stuff, who can report things from all over the place. And if there's really bad weather, we can spin up a net and just report from where we are. And then we've got a couple of coordinators in our Aries group who have access to NWS's online messaging to report that. And on the county side, very similar story. They've got a bunch of people who are already paid and insured and all of that. And we're there as a last resort sort of thing if they absolutely need additional help, if all communications that they have suddenly go down and so forth. So we still exist, but ideally we are nothing but periodic meetings and practices. Here's our ROS.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a similar situation here. We used to have, the Aries group here used to be pretty active. The Aries, the emergency coordinator, was trusted by the local emergency management officials. So whenever there was an impending weather situation, he was a professional meteorologist, for one thing. So he would be in the emergency operations center, providing information to the emergency management people. And, you know, because he was a ham, you know, he would be getting reports from the Aries group. Now, in those days, we also have an extensive network. Pretty much every police department or fire department or public works department in the county probably has some of their people who have been trained to be weather spotters. So the emergency operations center would be getting reports in from all these stationary observers throughout the county. And when I was explaining to civilians what the Aries group did, I compared it to, like, you know, remember in the Civil War we had groups like, you know, Jeb Stuart and these cavalry scouts who were very mobile and could move around and observe the enemy, you know, and report back to, you know, the generals. And that's kind of what our job was. We had people with mobile radios in our cars, and we would drive out to the low-density population parts of the county, kind of upwind, and just watch for the storms to approach and report what we see back to. We usually had a net on one of the repeaters in town here. And as I said, our emergency coordinator would be monitoring the net, and he could pass on our observations to the professional management people there. Anyway, I see that we have VU2MDA has joined us. So, Soundhire, we've just been talking about, it wasn't the deliberate choice of topic this week, but we've been talking about, like, weather situations and emergency assistance, you know, ham radio as a tool for the emergency management people during times of severe weather. So anyway, welcome back, Soundhire. You have the floor. Okay, well, perhaps he is, you know, gone away from the radio. Does anyone else have a recheck or additional comment?
Hi, good evening all. This is Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha, Sounder from India, for checking VU2MDA.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this week, Soundhar. It's down to just three of us here, so if we have no other comments for the net, I think I'll wrap it up. We lasted 29 minutes here, so that's a good length. Oh, I see, Richard is back. Okay, we're on the final call, last call for comments or rechecks.
I just wanted to say, KC1TCA here, thanks Ross and Wayne for all this, all the information. It's illuminating and it helps me to understand a little bit better what's going on here. KC1TCA.
Okay, well, let's see. I guess this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club at, call it 0030 UTC. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can join us in comm on SDF. Well, I'm in the Anon radio room. But anyway, this is Net Control Station 89FJ saying 73, everyone. Thank you for joining us.